This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome the ambassador from Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom, Eline Sulemanov, speaking from London. Today is Victory Day, not only for the people of Russia, but for the people of Azerbaijan. The statement is celebrating 77 years later the sacrifice of 600,000 Azerbaijani men and women who were in the war effort, principally having to defend Azerbaijan from the Hitlerites who were driving to capture those oil fields before they were arrested at the Battle of Stalingrad, dominated by volunteers from Azerbaijan. Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. How is this memory of the great patriotic war, the celebration on May 9th, how is it today in Baku? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Good to hear from you. Indeed, it's a very important victory day for Azerbaijan because we were part of the main international allied effort to stop Nazi Germany and fascism from dominating the region and the world. As you said, Azerbaijan sent over 600,000 people. Over half of them did not come back. We lost those people in the battles. But I think a very key contribution of Azerbaijan was all those airplanes and all those tanks and all those mechanized armored vehicles of the Soviet Union were fueled by oil from Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan became, Baku became the key factor in winning the world because that it got the war machine going. And that is why, as you mentioned in our conversation, Hitler wanted to capture Baku so badly because he understood that that was the resource base for the Soviet army battling him. Thankfully, it never happened. He was unable to do that. Defenders of the Caucasus, defenders of Azerbaijan were able to stop them. But that shows how important Azerbaijan was.
Azerbaijan, 77 years later, is even more important to a conflict zone. That's Ukraine. And President Aliyev has made an important statement in these last hours about Ukraine. It's striking in that Azerbaijan by itself has recovered from the end of the Soviet Union and now stands as a bulwark for responsible governance in Central Asia. What has this president said of Ukraine conflict, Mr. Ambassador?
Thank you, John. Thanks again for following the news. As you understand, and we all know that what happens in Ukraine today is a tragedy for all of us. The way we see it, it's first of all, of course, tragedy for both Ukrainian people and the Russian people, I would say. What we call always, and we have always called for, is the supremacy of international law, respect for international law, respect for the accepted rules of behavior, such as respect for the territorial integrity and sovereignty of states recognized by the international community. We have always abided by that, and we have always called everybody to do that. We have, as a country, which have suffered itself from a very long occupation of our lands, to which you have been witness up until very recently. We take it very seriously, and we call on all sides to come together and try to find a solution to this diplomatically within the framework of international law.
International law means that the president is looking not only to make statements in sympathy with the people in Ukraine, but also to do something about it. The energy basin of the Caspian Sea is available not only to the people of Central Asia, but also to the people of Europe. This is the Southern Gas Pipeline. And the European Union has sent representatives to negotiate for increasing energy. Is that now complete? Are there plans to increase the amount of energy flowing to Europe?
At the end of 2020, in fact, on December 31st of 2020, Azerbaijan began operating the Southern Gas Corridor, providing the key alternative supply of piped gas for the European Union. It goes to Italy, it goes to Greece, it goes to Albania, it goes to Georgia and Turkey. That can be expanded, but of course, what is needed is a strong commitment from our European partners, negotiations and investment, because those things don't happen overnight. It should be a part of the long-term strategy. Consider this, the Southern Gas Corridor took some time to develop. Once again, it can be expanded, but there are resources to do that. But for that, we need a long-term commitment. Like anything in our life, like anything in international relations, to get a success, you need a long-term commitment. And a very small point on energy is that Azerbaijan today has supplied free of charge Ukraine with a significant amount of fuel for planting season for agriculture activities. Plus, we have been providing Azerbaijani state-owned gas stations in Ukraine have been providing emergency and medical vehicles fuel free of charge. I think that's a small but an important contribution to humanitarian situation in Ukraine.
Especially because Azerbaijan is not free of troubles in its own neighborhood. I want to speak of Iran. It's an incomplete report, but there looks to have been be tension along the Iranian-Azerbaijan border. Is there anything new here, or is this more of the same bad acting that we've seen over the last year?
I think for some time there were some misunderstandings between from the Iranian side towards what happens in Azerbaijan and towards Azerbaijani victory in the war. But I think recently the Iranian side has been much more understanding. There seems to be more understanding of the need to work together. These connectivity projects, which would involve Iran, including a section of a railway going to Iran. That's all important. All we need from our Iranian neighbors is to join the success of the region. And in fact, look, if we offer to work with Armenia, which is our been a long time foe of Azerbaijan, you know, Iran should be a very welcomed addition to the regional cooperation. Sometimes I think there are some irresponsible accusations from the Iranian side, from some non-government actors and others, but those are insignificant issues.
The troubles in Nagorno-Karabakh do not ever fade, but they are becoming in the past now. So I want to speak to what I understand is going on. There's a peace effort, there is peace, but there are complaints or provocations from the Armenian side. Let's begin at Shusha, the important city I hope to visit someday. How is it at Shusha? Is there peace there? Is there celebration in the success of the people coming back to Shusha?
First of all, you're always welcome in Shusha. It's a great place. It's a unique, a special a town in Azerbaijan, in the Mar. It's a beautiful place. It's a cultural capital of Azerbaijan and the cultural capital of the Turkic world, as has been declared. They just had a culinary, a gastronomic festival there from all over the world, including Italy, Israel, Mexico, other countries. It was a lot of taste. So I think you and I, we missed a great celebration in Shusha,
yes,
which I probably should not be participating too much in. But overall, the situation has some positive momentum. Azerbaijan has offered five main points for the roadmap to the peace agreement with Armenia. Armenian side seems to have accepted them. There is now a concrete conversations, specific conversations on resumption of communications, border delimitation, commission creation, and all this. The problem is, of course, unfortunately, as we speak, the protests in Armenia led by radicals and former warlords demand no relationship with Azerbaijan. They say Armenia was not Turks and things like that. Quite racist statements. That's sad, and we hope that they will not be able to derail the positive momentum.
Elin Süleymanov is the ambassador to the United Kingdom from the Republic of Azerbaijan, celebrating 77 years since the Great Patriotic War and the success of driving the Hitlerites all the way back from Stalingrad to Berlin by the sons and daughters of Azerbaijan. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.